Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sun Guy back with you here on another Sunday. Hopefully everyone enjoying the Memorial Day holiday out here. Some show notes if you're looking for wrestling. Lots going on here on the Memorial Day Sunday. You have LPW in Sarasota, Florida. TBPW in Tampa, Florida. KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. PTW in Georgetown, Kentucky, SCW in Kiln, Mississippi, MSWA in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, TASW in San Antonio, Texas, and here in our neck of the woods, you have NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles featuring War Games. So get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling, wherever it may be. QT, as usual, lots going on in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, and wrestling action is heating up just like the temperatures outside. I think it was 90 degrees out yesterday.
It sounds about right, and action heating up. You had Defy Wrestling on Friday, Rose City Wrestling, and SCW yesterday afternoon, NWA Blue Collar today, lots of shows in our region.
Now, Sunday, what's the hottest temperature you have ever refereed in, and was that in Indiana or Portland, Oregon?
Hottest temperature would be probably about 90 degrees. Yeah, I would say probably in Portland, although there's been once or twice when it was fairly warm in the Tacoma area when I refereed outdoor venues.
Now, was that at Patty's Home Plate, the outside car show, a few years ago?
Yes.
Yes, I was at that. It was very hot. Yes.
It really was. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention last night. Also was the 21st anniversary show for ECCW up in Vancouver.
Well, they don't get quite as hot as down here.
Not really, but it, still they had a show last night.
Now, Sign, have you ever refereed in Vancouver?
I have not, but ECCW putting out quality talent. They're seeing a lot of people from Vancouver hitting the bigger stage. Jinder Mahal, who is from the area, your current reigning WWE World Champion, and the Singh Brothers, the Bollywood Boys, just getting started in WWE, so it's a great time to be out of the Vancouver area.
Now, how does one have Bollywood characteristics? How would you describe Bollywood? And is Christopher Rysik a member of the Bollywood club scene in the Northwest?
I believe he has wrestled against the Bollywood Boys a number of times.
I see. Now, what is Bollywood? Is that kind of like the glitter type paparazzi scene that dominated the New York disco scenes in the mid-70s?
Oh, it's pretty much India's version of Hollywood.
Oh, India's version of Hollywood. Oh, okay.
Indeed. Hollywood. Now, besides ECCW, we would also be remiss if we didn't mention that yesterday was also Wrestle Club history being made. Gregor Petrov walking out, not only still the current NWA Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion, he also became the Potato Bowl Champion yesterday, defeating Sean Skelter.
Wow. Now, Sangai, I took a close look at Gregor Petrov, and it seems like he's cut down a little bit on his weight. Because my analysis last week when I was at Blue Collar Wrestling, seems like he's doing a little bit more cardio. Yes.
Indeed. I believe our guest is on, so let's bring him on. We have Mr. Mason with us.
All right. How's it going?
Doing very well. Oh, J.D. Mason, I want to welcome you to the show. Unbelievably, I believe this is your first solo appearance on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
I think it is.
Now, come on.
Well, we're going to give you the first timer's question to lead off then, since amazingly it is. First timer's question, what got you started in this crazy business of professional wrestling?
I started watching wrestling when I was about 5 years old and just got hooked ever since. And, you know, did the whole backyard thing with my friends in high school and whatnot, and found Pinnacle Wrestling when I was 17 and started training.
Now, Pinnacle Wrestling, something near and dear to my heart. I went to a lot of Pinnacle shows over the years. You were a part of that promotion the last year or so, if my memory serves. When you look back at the history of Pinnacle Wrestling and you see a lot of the alumni that went on to become some of the bigger names in our industry, what do you think it was like for someone just getting their start to pass through those same doors?
It was pretty awesome. You know, I came to Pinnacle about 2005, and then started wrestling about 7 months into the. And, you know, we had a lot of guys come through the doors, like you said, like Harry and Jack and TJ Wilson and Davey Richards and Tony Kazina. And, you know, it was a good, amazing experience for someone to come into.
One of the promotions that is most dear to you, of course, Northwest Pro. When you look back at having gone through Pinnacle and wrestling for several other promotions, in your mind, were you sort of seeing what worked and what didn't work for these promotions? So when you got to that point where you were going to start Northwest Pro, you had a solid background on what you thought would and wouldn't work in this area?
Yes and no, because I have a different outlook on wrestling than a lot of people do. I prefer more of an older, I don't want to say generic, I don't think that's the right word I'm looking for, but older style of psychology. You know, I'm not too big into a lot of spot wrestling. It's not something I look for, and we at North Pro pretty much draw the casual fans, and I like to say we're creating wrestling fans because a lot of the people that come to our shows give me a lot of the same review, you know, oh, well, we used to watch wrestling when we were kids, and then, you know, we grew up with the trend of a lot of that, so that's what we strive for.
At Northwest Pro, there's a pretty diverse roster. You have guys that have been around for quite some time, like your chefs, like your Chuck Paynes, and then you have a lot of newer, younger talent that has come into Northwest Pro, guys like, for example, a Rook Kelly that are just getting started. Do you think that the roster you've assembled there in Vaughan, Washington is the correct mix of veteran and young talent that you need? Oh, looks like he dropped the call, QT.
He dropped the call? Oh, okay. Bummer. Well, he'll be back. I think he's on speed dial. That's what I've heard.
There we go.
Yes.
We got him back. Mr. Mason, are you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. I got terrible service out where I'm at.
No problem. Well, the question was, with the roster you have assembled at Northwest Pro, with guys like Chef and Chuck Payne that have been around for a long time, in contrast with guys like a Rook Kelly that are still new to the business, do you think that's the correct mix of veterans and young talent that some promotions never seem to grasp?
Yes, I do, actually, because I started Northwest Pro with the intent of getting guys like Frankie and Jared Savage and even Chuck, you know. Chuck's never really been a singles main event guy before until Northwest Pro, you know. So I wanted to give guys who I don't think get a fair shake due to politics or body size or look or whatever, you know, and kind of give them a shot to shine and show their talents, you know. We got a lot of guys who are coming into the area who are working other shows, and, you know, guys like Adden Reyes and Jeff Orcutt, and, you know, just this last show we had Concussion and Odwin, the Conqueror, now used to be Odwin the Viking. So, you know, it's just mainly there to give guys a shot and shine who normally wouldn't get it.
It is a very unique roster. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about Northwest Pros on the shows I've attended there, you have a pretty family-friendly base. Lots of children attend the Northwest Pro shows. You don't see a lot of blood. There's not a lot of swearing on the microphone, anything like that. Was family-friendly something that you specifically sought out to build around, or was that something based upon what the audience was when you started?
Well, when we started, we didn't really have an audience, honestly. I mean, probably 30, 40 people showed up. But it's grown since then. Family friendly is something that no one ever really taps into around here. You know, you got your 3-2-1 adult alternative, so to speak, wrestling show. You got CPW, which is, I would say, for the most part, family friendly. But you know, they also draw some of the 3-2-1 crowd, so it's kind of a pander to that. And then, you know, of course, Pimp's gig over there in Port Orchard is, you know, pretty family-friendly. So I feel like I kind of started a trend with the family-friendly thing because not a lot of people do it.
That is very true in this area. And we mentioned building around some of the young talent and bringing in guys that weren't getting looked at very much. In the Pacific Northwest, on shows you've been to, be it your own or others, who would you say are some of the best young talents that fans may not have discovered yet?
There's a lot of good up-and-coming talents, and then there's a lot of talents I feel need a lot more work. Off of my roster, you know, Frankie's a good talent. He's a good worker. Really getting into his own character, you know. Jared Savage is starting to come around a little bit. He kind of hit a dip there for a little bit with his work, but it's starting to come around, you know, the more and more we train. Man, there's just there's a lot of great talent, you know, coming up. A lot of the 3-2-1 guys are getting really good. Dave Turner, JV Moonshine has improved tenfold since I met him. You know, a lot of guys have improved over the past couple of years, you know. So it's hard to say, like, who's, like, some of the best talent because there's just a lot of good talent coming up.
One of the things that, to my knowledge, has not happened on a Northwest Pro show as of yet is intergender matches. They became a little bit controversial last year when the New York Athletic Commission shut one down for a couple of hours until they could review the books and see what the law was. For your own personal viewpoint, how do you see intergender wrestling as something that is viable in 2017?
You know, that's kind of it's kind of a weird line, you know, because WWE does it right, but they do it to where the guys can't wrestle the girls. Like, they'll do an intergender tag team match, but it won't, like, a male wrestler can't slam a female wrestler. Whereas, you know, you watch Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you got Candice Michelle giving people German suplexes by the neck.
My personal view,
I don't think it fits the family-friendly atmosphere to have a male and a female wrestling. I did it one time, and the way I had it set up went over pretty well with the fans, and it did what I needed it to do. But it's not something I try to do.
On your roster, you don't have a lot of female talent. There's not really very many here in our region as a whole. You've had Sunny Days in to do various roles. Sarah has valeted for the chef for quite some time. There's probably one or two others in there. Where do you stand on bringing in female talent? Are you looking to expand that aspect of your shows, or are you happy with who you have right now?
Female talent is definitely something I'm looking into, but it's not something I've given a whole lot of thought to just because I got so much on my plate as it is right now.
Now, you've been around this area well enough to know that and here in the Northwest, the fans always try to gravitate towards guys that were in the Don Owens era. A lot of fans still around from that era and remember it fondly. And if there's someone from that era that is on a show, they usually draw fairly well with them. Do you see a lot of the Don Owens era fans as still out there as a viable marketplace for independent wrestling? Do you see that the shows could still draw large numbers using that era fans, or do you think that today's independent companies need to move on from that particular fan base and try to get a different or a new fan base built?
I feel like if you're going to run any show, you should never pander to one crowd. And what I mean by that is you should try to have a good variety on your shows. Now, we've done shows where people have come in and tried to do their ROH-style spot fest, and then we've had hardcore matches and stuff. And, you know, obviously with the crowd that we draw, like a hardcore match will draw more over like a pure quote-unquote wrestling match.
We have a game on this show we like to play. You might be familiar. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you've come across in your career. First word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Yeah, we can give it a shot.
All right, the first name, Adam Reyes.
Character.
Paul Preston.
Hard worker.
Jimmy Flame.
Ooh.
Sunny Days.
Short.
Dash Venture.
can't think of a word for Dash, honestly.
Kellen Wraith.
I'm also going to have to say hard worker.
Jared Savage.
Large.
Sonny O'Mara.
Irish.
Casey Carlisle.
Eastern.
Christopher Ryzik.
Orange.
Dayafua Dabashi.
Bite.
The final one, Randy Zellers.
Z Team.
One of the things that is part of the wrestling business and always has been, of course, is injuries. Anyone that gets into the ring runs a risk of being injured. If you're in there for any length of time, it's bound to happen. What's been some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far in your career?
I'll give you the most recent ones. I herniated a disc in the small of my back when I tore my wife's car last year, coming back from Spokane. And then the second most recent one was when I did a complete tear of my PCL.
Just on shows you've been on and or promoted, I know you've seen other guys get some scary-looking injuries over the years. What's been the single scariest injury you've witnessed on a show?
It was me, Frankie, and Chuck did a triple threat ladder match, and Frankie broke his arm.
That is a rough day at the office.
He broke something like 8 minutes into the match and continued the match.
I bet afterwards he was starting to feel it a little bit, though. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things over to QT.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, JD.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Not bad. JD, I saw your YouTube video entitled JD Mason versus the Crazy Redneck, and the ring announcer said you were from Ottawa, Illinois. My question is, how far from the Canadian border is Ottawa, Illinois, and do they have a minor league pro hockey team?
Honestly, I used Ottawa, Illinois as more of a gimmick. I was born there. I lived there probably for the first, 2 years of my life.
Oh, okay. That's what I pretty much surmised, yes. And did you make your move? I'm going to say you made your move out to the Northwest. I'm going to guess in 1992.
I would say that's probably about right.
Oh, okay. Now, do you know if... Oh, all right, 92. Wow, okay. Do you know if Ottawa, Illinois does have a minor league pro hockey team?
I don't know, no.
Oh, okay. If you could do some research and get back to me on that, that'd be great. Okay. Okay. Well, JD, in your match with the Crazy Redneck, at the 256 mark, you were outside the ring, and you had walked the Crazy Redneck over to a chair, sat him down, and gave him a seated knife-edge chop. Now, it's pretty rare to give someone a knife-edge chop who is seated outside the ring. My question is, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have received? Because, from the looks of it, up to this point in the match, it would not have been from the Crazy Redneck. That's pretty safe to say.
There's probably four or five people that have chopped me that I've ever been chopped. You know, I can't ever get chopped harder than these people that I can think of. Chuck Payne chops really, really hard. Moose Morrow chops really hard. Jason Styles chops really hard. Ryzik can throw some pretty good ones. And the number one person that's ever chopped me in my entire life that can bust me open with one single chop is Cadillac Callis.
Ooh, Cadillac Callis. Okay. Wow. Now, did he do that to you in the Tulalip Ballroom?
No, it was in Pinnacle in WC.
Oh, okay. Cadillac Callis. Wow. All right. Do you know where the whereabouts of Cadillac Callis these days?
I think he lives in California now.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, JD, at the 3:55 mark of that match with the Crazy Redneck, you had the Crazy Redneck off the canvas in an MMA submission hold where you had both arms hooked and his head bent at an unnatural angle against your chest, so his windpipe was shut off from breathing, thus shutting off the flow of oxygen to his brain. It was a very lopsided victory that only took you from the 2 minute and 4 second mark of the match to the submission mark of 4:02 minutes, so it was under 2 minutes. Are there any truths to the rumor that after this match, the Crazy Redneck changed his name to the Crazy Cream Puff?
I don't know anything about a rumor, but I was just fresh off an MMA fight that I had with an old tag team partner where I beat him in a similar fashion.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your MMA background, when you got started, and was it at a Pacific Northwest MMA club?
No, I just did. I was an amateur wrestler, and I did a little bit of training with a few buddies who did MMA. I didn't really train a whole bunch, and I did it specifically for that fight.
Who were some of the wrestlers in the Northwest that you have undergone MMA training with? And would one of them be Aaron Bolo?
No, I never trained MMA with Bolo. It was just some buddies from high school sort of situation. It was never anything like a pro, you know, like club.
Oh, okay. So they didn't have any like MMA clubs at your high school? At your high school?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners where you went to high school in the Northwest area? And it was at Mount Tahoma High School, home of DeFola DeBashi's high school.
No, I went to a high school in Gig Harbor. I went to a school called Henderson Bay High School.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, did you go out for the wrestling team there?
No, I wrestled at a school that I went to previous to Henderson, and I wrestled in middle school.
Oh, okay. You wrestled in middle school. Okay. All 3 years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to guess in 6th grade, you were in the 103-pound weight class, 103.
No, I was a big kid.
Oh, wow. Well, 103 is pretty big for 6th grade. I mean, 5th grade. 5th, 6th, 7th. Well, wait a second. 6th, 7th, 8th. Oh, yeah, 6th grade. All right, 6th grade, I'm going to up my weight estimation to about 126 for the 6th
grade. I mean,
grade.
That could be right, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, all right, then I will not guess at this point what you weighed in the 7th and 8th grade. I'm just going to discontinue that. Okay, all right. Well, J.D., I also saw your video called Bolo and J.D. Mason versus Ryzik and Kellen Rayef, 12-16-07. Now, unlike your singles match with the Crazy Redneck, you were teaming with Aaron Bolo. Now, one match is probably not enough to judge a person's ability in the ring, just like you could not judge a major league pitcher you have seen for the first time and judging his first performance. But would it be safe to say that just by glancing at the title of this video and not even starting it, that Aaron Bola was probably a far greater asset person to have on your side rather than face off against, say, the Crazy Redneck?
Well, I mean, those were obviously a couple of years apart, for one, and for two, the, you know, you said it yourself, that was in 2007, so I was on my second year of pro wrestling. I think Bola was on his third.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the gist of the question was, just by glancing at Aaron Bola and his reputation before that, that he probably was a better talent than what you saw against the Crazy Redneck. I mean, if you had Crazy Redneck on your side in tag team singles, it might have been a little bit more difficult than having Aaron Bola on your side.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, okay. All right, is it safe to say that your partner from the mean streets of Seoul, South Korea, had better entrance music than the Crazy Redneck and his Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train?
I don't remember what Bolo used for entrance music. Like I said, that was in 2007.
Oh, well, Bolo usually entered the ring with a nice, calming, kind of like chamomile tea music of Eastern flute music. It was very soothing. Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. I just remember it was very, like you said, very soothing.
Kind of like a Zom Fear type thing. Yes. Or that guy that plays, Kenny Loggins? Oh, never mind. Anyway, it was soothing music. Okay. Well, JD, both Kellen and Christopher were taking the boots to you at around the 3:47 mark of the match. Christopher walked over to Bolo and taunted him, and Bolo tried to get in the ring, but the referee blocked him because he had not been tagged. As the referee was busy pushing Bolo back toward the ring apron, Christopher Rysaek motioned Kellen to get into the ring, and they proceeded to stomp you. Rysaek then backed you in the corner, gave you a few kicks, and then proceeded to give you a sidewalk slam at the 4:29 mark. Although it was more like, okay, I had JD up around a foot and a half off the canvas, stumble, and then a slam at a low altitude, but a slam nonetheless. My question is, have you ever forgot to tuck your chin during a slam, or do you need to when you're less than 2 feet off the canvas?
You always need to tuck your chin because there's always the risk of hitting your head.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I'm going to take from that, always tuck your canvas, even though your slammy may not have gotten you very high off the canvas and less than 2 feet. Very good lesson. Okay. All right. Well, JD, at the 5:55 mark of the match, Christopher Rysaek had you in an abdominal stretch, and he reached over to Annie Reif, who was leaning on the ring apron. They joined hands, and Annie used all her weight as a fulcrum point to increase the pressure that Christopher Rysaek was exerting on your right side. They did this two times as the ref was not looking. On the third time, the ref caught this Rysaek-Reif torque chain and used it to break the clasp. My question is, at this point, did you resolve to hit Annie with the ideal reflection mirror that Christopher Rysaek carried to the ring because of her interference?
I got to credit you first off, because that was the Toxic Diva that was at ringside, not Annie Reif.
It was. Oh, okay.
You're going to have to repeat the question one more time because I didn't quite understand it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's kind of a mute question because, as you said, it was a Toxic Diva rather than Annie. I thought they were the spitting image of each other. Well, did you plan to hit the Toxic Diva with Christopher Rysaek's ideal reflection mirror due to her interference?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch that because then also, like I said, that was a long time ago. I wrestled a lot since then, so.
Oh, yes. Well, boy, that was Christopher Rizik. He had a pretty long reach to reach the Toxic Diva, and the Toxic Diva was leaning all her weight on the ring apron. Boy, talk about a lot of pressure on your side. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Plus, he gave me a few knife edge chops, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did. But then again, JD, you gave Christopher a stone cold stunner at the 8:42 mark, and then you caught Kellen in a modified iron cross toss roll up, and this led to his pin at the 8:49 mark of the match. My question is, was this the last time you got to tag team with Aaron Bolo? Think right before Christmas of 2007. Was that the last time you stepped in the ring with Bolo?
I'm pretty sure that was, actually.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Okay. Well, JD, both Sun Guy and I were talking about the Bollywood scene that's hitting the Northwest. We believe that Christopher Rizik is involved in the Bollywood scene in Woodland, Washington at the Royal Moose Pub. This was the tavern that held the only Woodland Pro Wrestling Championship card. My question is, have you talked to Randy the Pimp Taylor about forming a Bollywood hip scene in Port Orchard or Woodland, Washington?
I have not, actually. And Randy runs his own company. I just provide the ring and some talent.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're not behind the Bollywood scene, okay? Okay, slightly disappointing there. Okay, no problem. JD, I'd like to expand on Sun Guy's word association, if I might. Can I run a few wrestlers past you?
Sure.
Okay. How about Chef?
Candy.
Candy, okay. All right. How about Dave Turner?
Muscles.
Muscles, okay. Paul Preston.
High flying,
okay. Hot Hands Mendoza.
Chops,
okay. Randy Zellers.
Z-Man.
All right, Ian Bitter.
Pass.
What was the response?
I'm trying to think of a trainee.
Okay, how about Coach Mike Jones?
Coast to coast.
Oh, coast to coast. Very nice. Okay. Now, speaking of Randy Zellers and Ian Bear, what did you think of the breakup of Alpha Sigma Sigma? Were you crushed like I was?
Yeah, I mean, I was so heartbroken.
Wow, okay. All right, heartbroken, okay. All right, well, that's about all the questions that I have. I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. It looks like maybe we have a caller with a question. We have a caller from the 360.
Hello,
do you have a question?
Well, first off, let me, instead of saying the question, let me say who I am. It's Jared Savage. JD Mason. I just want to know what he thinks of House of Pain. You know, I mean, we sit here, we do our part, we train, you know, we say our prayers, we take our vitamins, we're doing the thing out here. What's JD Mason doing? On a radio show, probably sitting in his car somewhere. You know what you should be doing, JD? You should be down here getting your butt kicked by me and Chuck Payne.
Oh, I'll come down there and I'll kick your butt. I'll come down there right now.
You know what, JD? You better. I want to see you. I'm getting off this phone. I'm going to wait right here for you. Cross the line.
Yeah, catch me outside. How about that?
Wow. Mass Juggalo jumping off of here quick. Oh,
I think he calls himself the Northwest Zulu Man or something.
Something. Now, the Masked Juggalo is someone that has wreaked havoc at Northwest Pro for quite some time. He's a very, very large individual. I'm sure you're very familiar with him. But what do you think of his progression?
Let's just be real about something, fine guy. Jared Savage is probably the size of a VW bug. I mean, he is a big, big boy. When he splashes into you, it's like getting hit by a car.
I can definitely see that. And you've had run-ins with him. Do you think he might be the most improved performer at Northwest Pro at this point?
He's definitely on the list to be one of the most improved, for sure.
Now, if he quits going to the gatherings and breaking his ankle, he might have a very bright future in wrestling, especially being aligned with a veteran like Chuck Payne, someone that's been around for 15 years, trained with Buddy Rose and Colonel DeBeers, one of the most underrated performers in this region. What do you think of the House of Pain's future at Northwest Pro? Do you think it's looking fairly bright?
Well, you know, right now, I've been around for some people, including Sarah Lee, you know. Just this past show, Chuck and Frankie did a very despicable thing in beating up a woman. I mean, you know, they're just running roughshod. So my goal is to take them down one by one. And if that involves being in the match on a hamburger on a pole match or something, that's what I'll do.
I don't know if a pole could support the weight of Jared Savage.
Close in the center.
Now, QT, of course, was mentioning your tag team with Aaron Bolo.
I hate to do this to you, but my phone's going to shut off because of the extreme heat.
Ah, well, before it shuts off, then if there's anything you want to plug and promote, go for it.
The next show is June 10th at the Key Peninsula Civic Center. After that, we got our anniversary show July 14th. Right now it's set at the Civic Center. And, you know, we got a lot of surprises coming up, a lot of the good shows, good talent coming up from Utah. And, you know, just all-around family fun, you know. Bring the kids, bring the aunts, the uncles, the grandmas, the grandpas, the moms and dads. Bring everybody. It's a fun show.
Absolutely great atmosphere. Absolutely fantastic venue in Vaughn, Washington, where Northwest Pro runs. J.D. Mason on a lot of shows in this area. Always worth coming out to support him. Mr. Mason, thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll see you in a locker room soon.
All right, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Fans, definitely get out there, support what they're doing in Vaughn, Washington. Northwest Pro, a great promotion, family friendly, as we said, lots of great talent on those cards. And the venue is absolutely fantastic. QT, wouldn't you say the venue they have there at Vaughn, one of the better ones in the area?
Very good, sign guy. And like J.D. Mason said, there's a lot of talent coming up from Utah, including Odin the Viking.
Absolutely. Odin making his return to the show in several weeks. He'll be on in July. He has not been on in a very long time. I'm looking forward to the return of Odvin. And also, speaking of a Utah regular, next Friday, we're going to have Andrea the Giant with us.
Whoa, now I remember one of her matches at Blue Collar Wrestling. I believe she went up against Dance and Tommy Celsius, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Dance and Tommy Celsius?
Possibly. I believe she's wrestled a few people at NWA Blue Collar over the years.
Oh, okay. Will someday one person that has not wrestled yet, and I'm hoping that he will in the future, Warrior Kid Zay. Warrior Kid Zay was ranked at number one this week on the Northwest Wrestler Rankings, 9 7/8. He has just committed to college, and I believe it's the University of Butte.
I'm sure it is a beautiful university, QT, but can you tell us specifically which one it is?
Oh, I see a little bit of wordplay there. You know, now that is kind of strange. I am now going to look up if there is indeed a University of Butte. I'm going to do that, yes. And I'm not sure if this was on a wrestling scholarship or not, but if you go on YouTube, you can look at Zay signing his commitment form. Yes, very interesting. That's why he got ranked number one.
Now, he is owed, to my knowledge, two fruit pies now, QT.
Two fruit pies? Uh-oh.
This is his second number one ranking. I don't think you ever gave him his fruit pie from before.
What? When was the first one?
Around 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, now wait a second. Here's the results coming in, sign guy. This is Montana Tech. Oh, okay. Well, here's Butte College. Okay, Butte College provides quality education services and workforce training to students. Okay, is that the Montana Tech, though? Now wait a second. Montana Tech is a public university located in Butte. Maybe, well, Butte College. Okay, Butte Glen. Oh, here's Butte College is a community college in Butte Glen Community College District. Maybe that's the one. There is a Wikipedia thing on here. Butte College. Oh, in the videos, Zay does mention the nickname of the college, the mascot. I did not get that. Maybe I can find a... Oh, mascot is a Roadrunner. I don't think this is a one. This is a mystery. Butte College is a community college and a Butte Glen Community College is okay, Northern... Oh, this is Northern California. I thought he was going to Butte, Montana. These are massive questions being raised at the moment. I didn't know there was a Butte, California. Okay, well, it's probably not that one. Well, it could be, but okay. Bring in. Will you yourself do some research and see where Zay is going?
I will try. I think that after posting the video where he revealed his choice, it raised a lot of questions.
Yes, it does. Yes. And many and talk about questions. Many people are wondering if I am going to Blue Collar Wrestling. I have decided not to. However, the money that I would have spent on the trip is now going to be plowed into a meeting at the Grateful Bagel. All that gas money that I spent is going to go toward the next Turnbuckle Turmoil staff meeting at the Grateful Bagel.
Would that be the Grateful Bread?
Oh, Grateful Bread and Bagel, yes.
I see. Are you saying that Zay will get his fruit pie should he show up at the Grateful Bread?
Oh, if he does, yes. Yes, if he does. In fact, I wonder when Zay's graduation day is. That's a good question. We must find this out.
All right.
One could kill two birds with one stone, sign guy. I mean, if one were to take the money that was going to be spent going down to Portland this week and instead put that toward gas money going up north, he could stop in Marysville, Washington at Who's on First Sports Cards on the way to Everett to deliver the fruit pie.
I see.
That's one plan, yes. And speaking of which, you haven't really been getting along with Devin South Park Bellinger so much lately. A clash of philosophical opinions. Yes.
And he does have a lot of opinions because he's multiple people because he's got that multiple personality disorder.
Yes. It's kind of like Raven the Wrestler. He had multiple personality disorders. Yes.
I thought he I thought he was a manic depressive.
Yes, manic depressant. Yes, that also. Yes. A lot of times he just sit down in the corner and bury his head in his hands.
I see. All right. Now, can you confirm and or deny that next week's top 9 and 7 eighth rankings will be posted on Thursday at 10 a.m. on the Facebook page of Randy Taylor?
Oh, Randy Taylor. Yes.
That's the rumor going around the Northwest.
I'll have to put in several applications, but Randy Taylor is in the running, yes. I wonder if I could ask Odin the Viking, if he would like that. Also post it on his Facebook page. Odin the Viking.
All right.
Well, I could ask, yes.
I don't see why not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. Or now Kellen Wraith, he might be in the running. Now, for the first time ever, should I ask a wrestler, should he be online if I can post it to his Facebook? That's a good experiment. First of all, let me see if any wrestlers are online at the moment. And now speaking of wrestlers, this is a huge development, son guy. Brittany Brown and myself are back on speaking terms.
That's been years. Didn't you send her an autographed copy of a book?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did she read the book?
I'm not sure. I have now got up the courage to ask her, now that we're on speaking terms. She sent me an emoji. Emoji. Hey! Von Bromwell is online at this moment. I am going to ask him. He is current. Okay, here we go. This is huge. This is the first time this has ever happened on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. Here we go.
Wait, what about the last time?
When was the last time?
Like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. Hey, maybe he'd like to call in real quick and give us our parting shot for the show. I will ask him. Okay, just 1 second. Here we go. This is huge.
It really is. East Barnett is probably shaking with anticipation.
Oh, okay. Well, he now sees that I'm typing. Yes. Yes.
Is that because he's standing behind you?
No, that's because I think he's been drinking.
I see.
Okay.
Is there a response? Any response? Anything at all?
Okay, I have just sent a message. It says, Tom Moonshine, we are still live on TT. Would you like to call in and say goodbye? 1-917-889-9105.
All right.
We're going to have to wait a couple minutes, yes. I know he's a slow reader because he's probably been drinking that movie. Oh, he has seen it. I anticipate a response very quickly. Okay, just a second.
Are you saying within 30 seconds?
Yes.
I don't think that Jared Savage and Paul Moonshine have ever been on the same episode of Turnbuckle Turmoil before in our history.
Oh, okay. Probably not. Okay, I have said our fans are waiting. They suspect you have been drinking. This is huge. This is better than the Stevie Jonak show. Yes. Well, not quite. Almost as good. Almost as good. Yes. Remember the Stevie Jonak show?
Are you talking about The Lounge?
The Lounge, yes. Some people might call it the long lounge, but.
Wow.
Well, there were times when I'd get up and make pancakes, you know, and stuff like that. Yes.
Now, did you serve these pancakes with whipped butter and warm maple syrup.
Well, I believe
this actually worked, QT. Paul Moonshine, are you with us?
Hey!
Yes, I am.
Paul Moonshine, you have just made history. This is the first time on Turnbuckle Turmoil ever that J.D. Mason, Jared Savage, and yourself have appeared within the same hour.
Oh, really?
Well, to my knowledge, that has never happened.
Well, that's good to know. I like to be missed sometimes.
Now, you know, you also made history recently when you and John Cena were the only two reverse second generation sports entertainers on the same episode of Turnbuckle.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And FYI, I think. In the near future, you should put JB Moonshine on there because he is a tag team champion and he's also a heavyweight singles champion.
That is true. He is also the record holder for most listens by a male sports entertainer in the history of Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Well, that's good. He deserves it.
And the female and overall record holder is his own cousin, Casey Carlisle.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a lot of listenerships from the fans whenever a Moonshine family member appears, apparently.
Oh, I see. FYI, somebody stole J.B. Moonshine's Moonshine Jug.
His Moonshine Jug has been stolen?
Yeah. And now we need a new one because that's where his power is in that Moonshine.
Do you have any suspects that may be responsible for this?
No, I don't. I just know that I suspect that QT might even have done it. He's pretty jealous of me and the accomplishment I've made with the Moonshiners and now Dave Turner and JB Moonshine. He's pretty jealous of what we do.
That is true. QT, do you have the Moonshine Jug?
I recognize Paul Moonshine's contributions to wrestling. We're on kind of like a speaking term, even though we haven't had our stepladder match yet. We're on the same speaking terms as I am with Brittany Brown. I think I can make a Moonshine Jug in my pottery class at the community college and bring it to Paul Moonshine. Yes. Or I'm going to break it over Marion's head. Yes.
Hey, now you leave Marion out of this. She's a sweet old gal.
Oh, no, she is a tiger with a multiple personality. She's very vicious. She attacked me last week at Blue Collar Wrestling. She attacked me. Yes.
Well, you probably said some things that she didn't like about me or JB Moonshine, and you know how big a fan she is of ours.
Well, I did sneak up behind her and poke her with a plastic fork. I'll grant you that. Yes.
Well, see, yes, and you wonder why she attacked.
Well, it was more of a love poke. Yes.
That sounds wrong on many levels.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, this is a family show, and you're trying to tell everybody that you poked Marion in the butt.
Wow.
Well, then your shoulder. Yeah.
Not when Paul tells the story.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Paul, we're just about out of time. I know you probably got a bunch of stuff that could use a plugging. J.D. Mason plugged a little bit. So why don't you jump in there, plug all of your stuff?
Okay, June 3rd, we're in Spokane. June 10th, we are in CPW where JV defends his heavyweight title against Hero. June 17th we'll be with JD Mason defending the tag team championship belt.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks for taking a few minutes to call in here at the end of the show. Always appreciated. Let JB Moonshine know. All he's got to do is ask. We'll have him back on the show. He's always welcome here. And fans, we will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we have Andrea the Giant. Paul, have you ever met Andrea the Giant?
No, I haven't. She must be pretty good size.
She is a very tall lady. I once managed her in Washington. She has great management. And
I think
fans,
wow,
next,
yes.
Yeah. Fans, next Sunday afternoon, we're going to have Joe Rules. You might remember him from his number 500 ranking in PWI's 500 a number of years ago. He made a whole career out of it. We'll have him on. So get out there, support your local independent wrestling. If you see a moonshine jug that looks suspiciously like JB Moonshine's, assault the person that has it and then call the local authorities. So we will be back with you next week. Get out there and support your local independents.
I could be the way you wanted me to be, but you're leaving and I miss you, you know. You could be the mountain, I could be the sea, 'cause I've been tearing us apart and miss you. Talking in sleep when you're all alone, waiting on me to come back home. I can see you walking far away, I don't know why, so I'll just wait. I'll just wait. Half a man you needed one is whole, but I was given everything 'cause I missed you, you know. It's talking in your